Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's Monday morning, 14 minutes after 9 o'clock, and Ray Graff here with the panel. Why is everybody gesticulating here? No? Everybody okay?
We're good.
Yes.
It's the panel. Something bad happened, and I don't know what it was.
We're paying attention to the on-air life.
Rosemary must have been saying something.
No.
It was not on.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't hear it. Well, let's introduce the panel before we get into more trouble. We have investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo.
Yay. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Sarah Rogerson, Albany Law Professor,
Yay.
Director of the Immigration Law Clinic. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better, thank you.
So you feel better than you sound?
Absolutely.
Okay. Also here today, Berkshire Eagle reporter Jen Smith. Jen, did you say it was snowing on your run-in?
In the areas that I take 43 for a lot of the back roads and then jump on 90. And yeah, during those
the
areas,
dips in
little,
the valley.
Yeah.
You got the all-weather tires.
Yeah.
Okay,
of course.
Alan Shartok also made the trek this morning. Good morning, sir.
It was snowing. It was snowing from Great Barrington. Of course, I came in very early, but it was snowing, and I felt it.
Why didn't you call and warn Jen?
I should have done that.
You should have done that. The email address here is panel at WAMC.org if you want to write us this morning as we get into topics. Keep them brief, please. Couple of sentences on topic. No attachments, no abbreviations, and do proofread a couple of times before you send. Panel@WAMC.org. Before we get down to business here, we have some important business to take care of.
Yeah. Well, let me give everybody, because we're all in this together, as I've said so many times, the incredible amount of money that has been raised up until now. And we only have 2 weeks to go to the fund drive. We have to get over $700,000. And we really should do all we can to finish it all. I'll tell you why. Because if, in fact, it turns out that some of the new disclosures about the president are going to mean that we're going into a place where the trial will continue through the fund drive. And if that happens, everybody is going to need to be, is going to want the radio to be doing the trial, and we can't do it without the money. I mean, it's that simple. All of you belong to not-for-profit organizations of one kind or another, and you know money is the bottom line. Too bad, but it is. So we need to make a lot of money.
Where are we now in the lockbox?
449,000.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's not good enough. And folks, there are a lot of people out there who want to help and who know. I asked the other day if somebody would put up a challenge, and we have a terrific challenge here, and it's a lot of money. Think about putting $5,000 into your wallet in 20s. You could hardly have the space for it. So anyway, our wonderful friend Laura Tenney will give us $5,000 if we can make $20,000 by the end of this this period.
Okay.
Which is at what time, Ray?
The end of our panel?
Yes.
It'll be 10:59. We'll call it 11.
Okay. So that means, everybody, if you can get on a phone, this is $5,000. We don't want to lose it. It's a lot of money. If we can do this, we'll have $25,000, and we'll be well on our way to making our goal. But I'm depending on you, and I'm depending on you to understand what's going on. Now, I don't want to raise a topic here that would be inappropriate, but I do want to talk a little bit about Mary Louise Kelly. She stood up to power. She stood up to Pompeo. She did what she had to do, and she didn't back down. And we're getting a ton of calls this morning, people pledging money who are saying, let me read you some of them. Thanks for all you do to preserve democracy. This gift is in support of Mary Louise Kelly speaking truth to power. You're a steadying force in our community. Thank you. Thank you, Mary Louise Kelly. Pompeo and Trump fear honest journalism. Each of these is on a pledge form. And somebody wrote, in honor of Mary Louise Kelly and journalistic integrity, I donate what I can in response to Mark Levin's question, why does NPR still exist? And in support of journalists like Mary Louise Kelly. Keep up the great work, WAMC.
Well, the phone calls are already coming in. 800-323-9262. 800-323-9262. You can also pledge online at WAMC.org. Make that pledge now. We've got a $5,000 challenge from Laura Tenney. And if we can hit the 470 mark, which is $20,000, by 11 o'clock this morning, she will give us $5,000 more. So that's a good way to get started here.
Want to know
box.
Who's on the phone?
The President of the United States of America.
Almost. My barber.
Ah.
Joby Ritmo saying, you should come over and get your hair cut. You look disgusting.
Okay. A reminder to panelists to please turn your ringers off before we start the show.
Yes, I get it. Okay, and some more of the people who are donating in honor of Mary Louise Kelly. Donating to WAMC is my reaction to the recent and continuous horrible behavior of Secretary of State Pompeo towards seasoned NPR host and reporter Mary Louise Kelly. Thankful for WAMC. And we heard also from yet another person for WAMC, NPR, and Mary Louise Kelly, Freedom of the Press. Now, that's a lot of people, isn't it, Rosemary? A lot of people calling.
It is, and I'm happy that they know about it, because that is an egregious case of, an impingement on press freedom.
Well, for those who missed it, let's explain it.
So Mary Louise Kelly is an NPR reporter. She was doing an interview with Pompeo. Her email proves that she said, most of it's going to be about Iraq and Afghanistan stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But she said, I also will ask about Ukraine. So they bring her in. She asked 11 questions on the topic they had approved on, and then asked one question on Ukraine. It was a hard question. She said, Mr. Pompeo, have you done enough to protect former Ambassador Yukanovich? She looked like she was being surveilled. It looked like she was being threatened. Did you protect her? And he was furious, and he said he's done everything he could to protect everybody in that department, and just ended the conference, the news conference. And then he called her in. His staff asked that she come without her recorder, but did not say this is off the record. Couldn't be recorded, not off the record. That's a big deal. And as Secretary of State, he and his staff know the difference.
And she said she wouldn't have done it if it was off the record.
Yeah, she would not have agreed. You would not go in to speak to a man of that position and make it off the record. So she goes in, and he again just excoriates her, that she lied to him, that she's ambushing him with those questions. And then he pulls out and has his staff bring him a map, an unlined map of the world, and says, point to Ukraine. Do you even know where it is? You think the American people even effing care about it? Using bad words again. It was Trumpian behavior. And this is a woman who has a advanced degree from Cambridge University in European Studies. So it's incredibly insulting and stupid to say, do you know where Ukraine is?
She pointed to Ukraine.
She says she did. Later, he comes out on letterhead and says she lied. She lied about the two things I just talked about, the on the record, off the record, and what she was going to talk about. And he ends it by saying Bangladesh is not Ukraine, as if this woman would have picked Bangladesh, which is by India, rather than Ukraine, which is right next to the Soviet Union.
Correctly.
Anybody would know this. But he was implying, he didn't say she got it wrong.
He was lying. That's what he was doing.
I think it was extremely misleading, and it was an attack on a reporter. And of course, as you alluded to, Alan, it led to calls saying, why is NPR, her outlet, even on the air? It gets some federal funding, and it's been threatened before, and Trump picked up on it and tweeted, that's a good question. Why is it still on the air?
Yeah, well, that's right.
So it's horrible.
Well, that's right. Look, I'm not going to lie to you, Rosemary and group. I'm not always happy with the guts that are shown by National Public Radio, especially when it comes to Donald Trump and what they've been doing. I think they have been a little bit more cautious than they should, but not Mary Louise Kelly. She's been great. And I got a note from the president of NPR suggesting that he was doing, that we were going to back her up. Well, I want to see a lot of backing up, and I know that you folks out there will back her up also. Look, we need to make $5,000 this morning, but this exemplifies what journalism and what our kind of journalism has to be. I don't think anybody's ever pointed a finger at us and say, you're not doing all you can, or you don't have the guts to stand up to this president. You know, Rosemary, one of the things that I was fascinated by is the question of why he got so crazy.
He's known to have a hair-triggered temperament. He does not like to be challenged. He did this with a reporter in Tennessee not long ago, too, who asked hard questions about Ukraine. He didn't expect it from a local reporter and a woman. I think that's part of it. He just tends to look down on them, I don't have to worry about her.
Fortunately, that happens all too often.
Yes, it does. That's actually to our advantage. I'm going to talk about this incident with my class today on law and ethics, because to me the most impressive thing was that after he acted like such a chooch, as we would say in my family.
A what now?
A chooch, a jackass in my family. She said, "Thank you for your time, sir," and left, which is what you must do as a journalist. You cannot lose it and be like them, even though you just want to, you know.
Because that adds to the
scream and just that story. She was professional through the whole thing.
So if you want to support this kind of journalism, if you want to support what we do here at WAMC, what Rosemary does, and all of us try to do. Sarah Rogerson is here, and she's been known to stand up to bullies also. So, you know, wherever you are, and Jen Smith, wherever you are, this is a time to say, all right, this is serious stuff. We know that this president isn't going to love NPR. We know that sooner or later they'll take the money away. They'll try to take the money away at least. We know that. And so, look, folks, we are what we are. It's at 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. I'm depending on each and every person who has heard the story of Mary Louise Kelly this morning, speaking truth to power, and do your thing. Or go to WAMC.org. Now, our wonderful Amber Sickles will tell us how it's going. We need to make $20,000. That's a lot of money this morning. I need you to go to a phone now, pick it up, and go 1-800-323-9262 or go to WAMC.org, and that'll be great.
Somebody had asked me over the weekend, hey, you know, I wait for the fund drive because of the premiums. Are the premiums still there? And if you go online,
you can.
There'll be a list of premiums there. I mean, it's not entirely what it's about, but if there's some good stuff there. As they say.
Are you old enough to remember the Milton Berle show?
I remember Milton Berle.
Well, Milton Berle used to have this guy on. He'd set up a little stand on the street, and you go, you can have whatever you want. You can have we'll give you whatever you want. Go look at the premiums. If you want a premium, it's $100 or more, you'll get it. It's not only the premiums. What it really has to, and by the way, if you write in or you call in, tell them what you want. But it's really about us. It's about you have a station. Wherever I go, people tell us. I was at a wonderful gathering yesterday. Wonderful people who
they were honoring you.
They were. They were very nice to me, and they were really honoring WAMC, not me, although they did say me. look, folks, what we're really about here is running something that you depend on. So 1-800-323-9262, let's hear from you now. And let's be able to say that if, in fact, this goes into the trial, because the trial will go on if they have witnesses. And now I think the chances of witnesses are very, very strong.
They're improved this morning.
Much improved.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay, then.
Dream awesome. On, my fellow panelists.
good. That thought.
She may be right.
Before we break for news in a couple of minutes, I did want to mention just some terrible news that we all heard yesterday. NBA legend Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter, 7 others dead after a helicopter crash.
Terrible.
I know, yeah. Alan, you may not follow the basketball as closely.
Yeah.
But Bryant was just an all-time great.
I knew they
won 5 championships with the Lakers. And just a brilliant guy who spoke 3 languages. Part of his upbringing was in Italy, and just
his last game, he got 60 points.
Yeah, and I think his best was 81. But it's terribly sad, and his daughter, who was an athlete in her own right too, so, and everybody else on the helicopter.
It's awful.
We certainly, you know, what can we say? But we send our thoughts. This is the roundtable panel. We have a good panel today. Rosemary Armeo is here, and she's already being contrarian. She's an investigative journalist. Albany Law School professor, director of the Immigration Law Clinic, Sarah Rogerson, is here. Jen Smith from the Berkshire Eagle is here. What are you working on, Jen?
A little bit of everything these days.
Yeah? Anything specific you want to mention?
We're looking at a lot of different developments and grants that are happening in the Berkshires. So I looked at one that the stationery factory in Dalton got. That's my hometown, so it's nice to get to go back to my hometown and cover that. Our annual Making the Grade section is coming out in February, so that's a section I manage and edit, and I'm really excited to say for the second year in a row is up for an award. So we'll be checking that out as well.
I know you've been back for a while. I mean, do you miss going back?
Yeah, do I miss India?
Do you miss going back to India?
Yes. Except for it's great because I had so many friends that I made there that every day at ungodly hours in the morning, my phone goes off from my WhatsApp with friends in different time zones wishing me well and sending me updates. And it's been really fascinating watching the protests that are happening there, too. There was Republic Day the other day, but it was really challenged by the protest and Modi's kind of basically the equivalent of an anti-Muslim ban. And so to be able to see that through people on the ground is always just a wonderful opportunity.
That's wonderful. Ray, when we come back, I want to get back to Rosemary and something she just said. And I have great respect for her. And she's probably right.
About witnesses.
Whether or not McConnell will allow, Midnight Mitch, will allow an honest up and down vote on whether there should be witnesses. Rosemary says she doesn't think so. She said, quote, dream on. So when we come back, I'd really like to talk about
that. Yeah, we'll lay it all out and we'll have a robust discussion. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Sarah Rogerson, and Jen Smith. The email address is panel@wamc.org.
And very quickly, we're depending on everybody. We need you desperately to make the $500,000 we need to get going. Right now, we've got a $5,000 pledge from Laura Tenney, who says she'll give us $5,000, but only if we make 20.
Michael Harley on the bassoon from the album Come Closer. It's Roundtable. It's the panel today on a Monday morning, and a nice panel at that. 9:34 is the time. We have Jen Smith from the Berkshire Eagle, Albany Laws, Sarah Rogerson, investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo, and WAMC's Alan Chartok. A reminder, we have a challenge here. Now, the fun drive begins 2 weeks from today, 6 a.m., February 10th. It's a Monday morning. Alan will be starting out the old fun drive. Here's the extenuating circumstance, and we'll get to this in a moment. It's entirely possible that this impeachment trial, will be going on. We'll be carrying it for you all, and that means our fund drive time will be brief. So what we need is to fill the lockbox right now. Alan, how are we doing?
We're doing remarkably well. I was just out front. The phones are ringing like crazy. They're backed up a bit. We've raised over $3,000 towards the 20.
Nice.
But we need $20,000, and we need it now in order to get that extra $5,000, and that really will
be Laura Tenney.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So we have to hit basically $470,000 by 11 a.m. to get another $5,000 from Laura.
You are a superb simplifier of very complicated things.
It's not that complicated. Now, you can call us at 800-323-9262, but Alan has mentioned the lines are backed up here. So good way to do it, wamc.org. You can make your secure online pledge there, feed the lockbox.
And as you said earlier, Ray, if somebody wants a premium, go to the list of premiums and grab one.
Absolutely. Well, President Trump's impeachment trial entering a big week. His defense team resumes its case today after a couple of hours Saturday. Senators are facing a critical vote on whether to hear witnesses or proceed directly to a vote that is expected to end in acquittal. Stakes are raised somewhat. This morning, the New York Times somehow was leaked a draft of John Bolton's book with some rather interesting information, and I think we'll let you go first, Alan.
I would rather defer to Rosemary.
Well, it's not a draft of the book. It's a draft of the outline for the book.
Yes.
And the leak is interesting to me because the White House has had this since December.
December 30th. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's a long time. Why are we just hearing about it at this precise time? And who leaked it? Was it the White House? Was it Bolton's attorney is furious about it and has pointed the finger at the White House? So the White House has leaked it.
Why would the White House leak it?
Well, let us talk about that.
I suspect, for whatever it's worth, I thought about that a great deal. But it seems to me that if the White House thinks that Bolton is going to say it, they may as well say it first or get it out there so it gets taken care of.
My theory is similar. Yeah.
Yes.
There's, it's, again, there's nothing new. All of us keep saying one new thing that'll carry over the edge. This is firsthand knowledge, but it only confirms what's already out there. So it doesn't do that
much
harm.
Do you think it's just an excuse to not call him to the,
exactly,
the stand?
It's, that's
like,
what
it's
I
like
think.
The surrogate, yeah, the proxy.
It's like, say, see, you know what's in it. You saw it. There's no reason for it anymore. And already you're hearing Republican senators give an explanation like, oh, well, you know, he's trying to sell. And Trump, too. He's tweeting about it. He's just trying to sell a book. He's just, you know, what he's doing. This would have been explosive 2 months ago. Right now, it's ho-hum.
However, the timing, you know, if in fact there is a leaker in the White House who has it in for the president, not necessarily terrible timing, because this is a pivotal week coming up after the Republicans are done with the defense, or the president's defense team is done. That's when the question of witnesses will come up. So it may be that the timing is very apt.
First of all, there's more than one leaker, because this is not that they don't have, the New York Times does not have an outline, that they don't have it itself. What they have are sources who have seen the outline, which means you have to have three by their guideline. Mm-hmm. So that to me sounds really orchestrated.
Is this another thing where they're going to pull the rug out from under the people who are very hopeful that they finally,
yeah,
have that smoking gun?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one more time. All of this is designed. I don't believe that, and I've been the only one who's maintained this all along. I do not think there will be witnesses. There's all that. Maybe we will. Oh, we're getting close. We're likely.
Romney said
there's not four votes.
Romney
there's
is not. Very much in favor at this point, based on what I've been saying.
No, he said he's likely.
He is,
to
but
do it.
Is it enough?
Yeah, it's not. Well, you need four.
Well, I think your point is: are these people like Susan Collins, total hypocrites? In other words, leading people on to say, well, I could do it, I might do it, I'm in favor of it, but then starts to shake her head when she hears something from the Democrats that she doesn't like.
Yeah,
so I think...
Did you see Saturday Night Live this week? They pegged it exactly.
Yeah.
Susan Collins is talking to McConnell and goes, yeah, and when we have witnesses, wink, and she does this big exaggeration. So of course it's... It's all
about the optics.
Yeah, it's all about the optics, right?
Yeah.
Unless people call their senators.
They're calling in record numbers.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
They
and
are.
They're tallying the count. I think that matters, especially for these people who are up for re-election.
Especially Susan Collins, who happens to she's what we call underwater in Maine right now.
Did anybody happen to watch the defense on Saturday?
Yes, I watched.
Well, we aired it here. By the way, we had a caller left a message complaining to me, yeah, you're not airing the defense. Well, we did. It was just so brief that this caller missed it. It was just 2 hours.
That's
well,
right.
I actually think that they did a good job. I did listen to all 2 hours of it. And they made a big point about how brief it was, because that was a contrast, as they put it, to the Democrats, who used 24 hours. They repeated the same thing over and over again. It's nothing you haven't heard before, and it isn't impeachable.
And the other
and not only that, but yeah, one more thing they made a real point on was they went back to the call report on the telephone call. I'm not calling it a transcript. And they read where Trump actually did talk about burden of sharing of the burden, that Germany, Europe is not giving you enough. That's actually false, by the way. The Europeans give way more to Ukraine than we do. But he did express concern about that. And the Democrats never brought that up in their 24 hours, and they never brought that up because it's exculpatory. And it goes back to the whole Republican talking point that we're out to get the president, so we're not saying anything that makes it look good for him. I thought they did
a
good job.
Rosemary, you and I have talked in the past about the OJ trial, and
yeah,
and I was laid up. I had like a burst appendix, and I watched the whole thing,
really?
Pretty much.
Wow,
yeah,
it's fascinating.
And you and I watched it, and I think we're on the same page that the defense did a lousy job, prosecution did a good job, and I think the defense in this case did a very good job on Saturday.
They did, actually. And I mean, I have to admit, I'm enjoying saying this, and that's hubris, because you all are, oh, Schiff's a genius, always the greatest orator over time.
Yes, I do think he's a genius.
Yeah. I know you do, and you're not alone in that, and I understand it. So I do like being a contrarian. And I think Cipollone in his first 15 minutes there got him, said, how come he never brought this up? Good question. Why didn't he?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm sorry.
It also is a strategic move by the Republicans because the coverage, especially on Fox News, didn't they have a time ticker?
Yep.
And they would
did they really
they did
oh my god
to
really?
Show how long Schiff was talking, and so that was part of the Republican yep. narrative talking point was they're saying the same thing over and over again. There was all that coverage about what people were doing in the Senate chambers, who was stretching, who was breaking the rules, and why, and how boring it was.
Well, it wasn't boring, and Schiff was a genius, and that speech he gave, and that's. Speech he gave is already being touted as similar to Lincoln's various addresses. I think he was superb. Rosemary and I will duke this out, but you know I think we have a new American hero in Adam Schiff.
Well, I don't disagree with that. However, it isn't going to have the major effect that speech
we don't know
should
yet.
Have had, which is to get witnesses and maybe even dissuade some votes. There is not a slew of evidence that he changed even
well,
one
that's
vote.
Well, that's the thing. That at the end of the day, it's how effective right. was it? And I think at this point, there are a lot of people who are fatigued by length of this and, mm-hmm. and you know, is this saying everything a little too late at this point? And again, there's still the folks out there who question, you know, even if an impeachment happens, how effective will that be in the long term of what's been done?
I'm very upset about this,
you know,
because I think
about what that he did it or that we're
about the general oh woe is me, the Republicans are good, the Democrats are bad, they haven't done their job correctly. You know, Rosemary, you can't have it both ways.
I can't have it both ways, and the deck is stacked against them. They did the right thing. I'm not opposed to this. I think Pelosi did exactly what her duty called for, but it will be ultimately a failure.
Okay, so what we don't know is whether enough of people will be have their minds changed to vote on this for witnesses. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think McConnell has done everything in his power not to want them. But I'll tell you, a lot of pressure. And I've always said this could lead to flipping the Senate to the Democrats because some of these people really ought to be ashamed of themselves. And people know it out of a sense of fair play.
Let's take a break here. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, and we'll get to some of your correspondence in a moment. Don't forget the lockbox is open, wamc.org. It's the roundtable panel. Jen Smith, Sarah Rogerson, Rosemary Omeo, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Just a couple of days to go, Donahue fans. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's 9:46. It's a Monday morning, and it's the Roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Sarah Rogers, and Jen Smith are here. The lockbox is open.
And the bassoon music is going on. I love the bassoon.
Do you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very talented people who play the bassoon, as you probably know, Ray, yes. because you're a musician.
That's Michael Harley on the bassoon, by
right.
the way.
As you probably know, Lovely. The bassoon and the oboe players have to make their own reeds. And that is
they're gonna make their own reeds. Well, yeah. You can't buy a reed.
No, you buy it, but then you gotta
make it right for yourself.
Yeah.
So we know that.
All right. Well, we know that, and frankly, thank you for that.
Frankly, you're welcome. Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we started needing 20,000. We have now raised in the first 46 minutes $8,000.
No way.
$8,000.
That's great.
Now we got to keep it going. We got to do it in honor of Mary Louise Kelly. We got to do it in honor of the wonderful panel that we have here today. And what WAMC does everywhere I go, people tell me that they listen to this panel. And so it's a time. It's a time to do that.
There's a challenge on the table,
there's
right?
$5,000. Think about that. $5,000 if we can do this. And right now we have 12 to go. So wherever you are.
That's pretty good. We can do this.
We can.
Well, we only have till 11, though, right? 11 a.m.?
That's right. Only till 11. And that's not that. That's what, an hour and 13 minutes, something
right
like that?
Right, you are.
1-800-323-9262. Get to a phone, please. $5,000 is at stake, and we really want to be able to please Laura Tenney, who has given us the $5,000, if and only if we can make this.
And you can go to WAMC.org and make your secure online pledge if you wish.
Yeah. We can. You want to read the letters?
Could you read
some
letters?
I'll do it. Read some letters?
Some letters.
I'll do whatever you do say. Okay. Linda says, Mary Louise, I was so incensed about what happened to Mary Louise, I emailed the State Department with, yes, I care about Ukraine, and I do know where it is. I would love to see the State Department email box be overwhelmed with responses from across the country. Thanks for everything you do. And that's Linda from Richfield Springs. Very nice.
Pretty terrible to think that the State Department wouldn't have more pressing business too. I mean, I would like to overwhelm the State Department's inbox with lots of messages about how I think that our international affairs are plummeting in terms of our integrity as a democracy leader around the world.
Don't you think part of Pompeo's problem is just absolute fear of what the president is going to do to him?
Oh yeah, that's what everybody's operating under.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And it was the wonderful Adam Schiff who said in his speech, he said, people's heads will be on pikes.
We got in a lot of trouble for that because wasn't that the one point where he
said that, but I don't care if he said it.
Where the Republicans broke decorum and actually said, and that's not true.
And Susan Collins was seen shaking her head negatively during that, which goes to show what a hypocrite she is.
He insulted them. He was saying, you're only doing this because you're afraid of the president, not because you actually believe it.
And he said, your head will be on pikes?
You don't want your head on a pike.
So the president threatened that anybody who went against him would have
CBS
their head on a pike.
CBS had reported it. And so he had a credible news agency reporting that that's what the president had said. And
the president actually... It was reported that he actually said it. It wasn't Schiff making as opposed to the House... The beginning of the House.
It was reported that the president said it, but then all of the senators who would have been impacted by the president's statement denied it.
Of course. Okay, and we also heard from Mark, who said Pompeo, the incident shows the arrogance of this administration. Think about it. A public servant thinks he has the right to determine which questions he is asked. What is this, Russia? And Mike says, I'm listening to the dust-up between Secretary Pompeo and NPR's Mary Louise Kelly. Two things struck me. Pompeo was number one in his class at West Point, had subscribed to the Academy's honor code. I will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those who do. Two, Douglas MacArthur's final speech at West Point, in which he talked about duty, honor, country, and what those three words meant to him. I guess with Pompeo, those 2 points now mean zero to this man. The mark of Trump... is now on his forehead, and that's Mike from Glens Falls.
Oh, you said it right, Glens Falls.
Well, it's Glens Falls for some. It's Glen Falls for the rest of us.
Yeah. The email address here is panel@wamc.org, wherever you're from.
Yeah. And we also heard from Bruce, who said, I can't wait till Amber comes in and tells us exactly how much more
we
have.
Well, she did a minute ago, right?
No, that one we already said. We're up to 8K, but now the phones are still ringing like crazy.
Okay.
We need everybody on a phone or go to WAMC.org. We need you now. Bruce says, impeachment trial allowing witnesses. I missed the first part of the panel, so maybe this came up already. The New York Times this morning had an article explaining that Chief Justice Roberts has the power to decide whether witnesses or evidence can be allowed to the trial, not Mitch McConnell. If this is true, couldn't he override any blocking by the Republicans? Thanks for everything you do, Bruce and Boston Spa. Well, my understanding from reading the various rules here is that the Chief Justice can make any ruling he wants, but that the Republican majority in the Senate can overrule him because they make the rules. But you make a very good point here, Bruce.
That would be tough optics for the Republicans
if you vote to override
the Chief Justice.
And tough optics for the Republican-appointed Chief Justice, too.
Yeah.
Okay. And thank you for that.
Roberts is another Susan Collins that the left grabs onto as, he'll be the voice of reason. No, he isn't.
And John says, trial coverage. We should not operate by different rules than the Republicans. When the House managers made their 3-day presentation, everyone covered it except Fox. Now, Fox is covering the presentation by Trump's defense and obfuscation team, so the rest of the media should ignore it. John of West Albany.
can understand that desire for revenge, but Fox is totally abdicated. It's not. It's not journalism anymore. It's completely propaganda.
Commentary.
Listen to WMC when you're listening to the radio. Watch C-SPAN 2
and send your money in
TV.
Now because there's $5,000. I don't think anybody gets what's going on here. There's $5,000. If we can raise 20, we've already raised 8. We need you. 1-800-323-9262. Again, 1-800. Write it down. 1-800-323-9262 or go to WAMC.org. We need you now, folks. And Susan says, Mary Louise Kelly. Good morning, panel. Compared to many of the snide but weak comments I hear from some NPR reporters, Mary Louise Kelly is always strong and to the point, not self-indulgent. When I heard her on your station, you mean our station, when I heard her on our station reporting on Pompeo's treatment of her, she presented the facts, not her feelings. The story was the focus. It's up to us to feel outraged, and we do. Thank you for reporting likewise. Susan from Pine Plains.
No, Sarah, I thought you were going to say something.
I just like the reframe, not your radio, but our radio station, right? This is a collaborative effort.
That's exactly what I said, and I'm so glad you said it. Boy, and thank you for everything you do, Sarah, including saving my coffee from falling
over. Did it almost fall?
Yes.
That would have been a disaster. There's a laptop right over there.
Just trying to be the change I want to see in the world, Alan.
You are doing that. And Sean said, on Schiff's closing argument, argument wasn't brilliant. It was constructed from the basics of lawyer argument manipulation 101, tactics which are typically most liberally applied when a case is weak or non-existent. Those who want to fall for it will, parenthesis, Alan, and those who don't will find it stomach-turning. The question is, did those in the middle buy it? I didn't, but I've been chased to the far right edge of the middle by the behavior of the left, capital L, over the past few years, and that's from Sean.
Well,
he writes a lot.
As a lawyer.
He writes a lot? Yeah.
I have to say that technique. No, the technique that he's describing was also used. We just talked about it on Saturday.
Sure, that's what lawyers do,
right? That's what we
do. Yeah.
Our job is to present the facts in a light most favorable to our client.
Of course.
There is a level of integrity that's been breached over and over again by lawyers. There have been lawyers who have been convicted, who have been charged with actual crimes, and they're all affiliated with President Trump.
Now, this is completely subjective. And again, I don't watch.
Well, that wasn't subjective.
No. What I'm about to say is completely subjective. But I watch the post-trial interviews on C-SPAN because there's no commentator. They just put them up. They turn the mic on and let them go. And it seemed to me that almost to a person, the Democrats who were commenting from Schumer on down seemed almost dazed by what had transpired over the 2 hours before.
This
is subjective. This is my opinion.
Well, it is subjective.
But they looked and they did not carry themselves off very well in response.
Oh, please. I thought Schumer was brilliant. Anyway.
Did you see his post-game interview?
I did.
What was brilliant about it?
I just thought his passion, his ability to lay it all out was excellent.
Interesting. What did he say?
Come on, I'm not going to. What is this, a schoolroom here?
He said
right matters. And you can have the best constitution in the world, which we do, but if right doesn't make a difference to the people
who
enforce it, it doesn't matter.
Which was very intentional because that's what went viral about Schiff's statements,
exactly.
Which maybe that's all he should have said.
I can't wait for Amber to come in with the next amount of money. That is so important that she keeps doing that so we can report to everybody. And Renee says, Bolton, I agree with Rosemary. Nothing new. I am shocked that anyone who has passed kindergarten would need any more proof. Even the doctored transcript of the call has enough incriminating evidence. Are these people even on this planet? And that's from Renee.
Okay, the lockbox is open. We have about a minute here before we hit the news. And tell us about that.
I'm having, some real trepidations.
You're verklempt at this point?
Yeah, I'm feeling some real trepidations here.
In the Kishkas?
In the Kishkas. $5,000 challenge from Laura Tenney, if and only if we can get $20,000. And the last report a little while back was $8,000. So if everybody could get on a phone, I was going to say get on a plane, do it now. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. We need $20,000. As soon as Amber comes in, and I know she's on her way.
Well, she can walk in during the news. We're going to break for news. Right?
Yes, I know, but what we need to do is have her coming in constantly with constant updates, if you see what I mean.
She's going to be very tired if she's coming in with constant updates.
That's good. You know, I haven't walked my 4 miles today either.
No?
No.
Why don't you get the
updates?
I did
it yesterday, every day, 4 miles. Okay. And it's $5,000 if we can do that. Let's go, everybody. Everybody on a phone or go to WAMC.org.
Welcome back to the roundtable. It's 10:05. It's what? It's
I know you love bassoon music.
I love bassoon music. It reminds me of Sunrise Semester this morning, right? Do you remember Sunrise Semester?
Oh, indeed.
Yes. The email address here is panel@wamc.org if you'd like to comment on the bassoon music or whatever we're talking about. Or you can talk about the lockbox.
Okay, folks, here it is. Again, this is why my Kishkas go into an uproar.
Okay. And what are the Kishkas again?
Your internal.
Okay.
You know,
so all of your organs are going into failure now.
They are.
Okay.
$5,000 challenge from Laura Tenney. That's a lot of money, $5,000. She says, okay, come on now. Let's get this done. $5,000 if we can raise $20,000. Now, as of this moment, we have now raised $9,000 of the $20,000. And we have 55 minutes to do this in, folks.
Yep.
So I need everybody to get to a phone because I'm going into Kishka failure.
Ouch.
Or otherwise known as alliteration, if you went to a private college. Kishka chaos.
Kishka chaos.
You know, and folks, kidding around is one thing, but if we can do this. Here, Laura comes ahead and gives us this huge challenge. That's a lot of money, folks,
yep.
If we can do this. And she's doing it not only because she's generous, but because she knows it will work. Because these do work when people make challenges.
So at the start of the panel, she said $5,000 if we can make 20 during the panel, which ends at 11.
And you have a way with words.
Where are we now?
We're at 9K.
So we need $11,000 in the next 54 minutes.
It's going to be hard. But we've done it many times, as you know, Ray, during the fund drives.
Yeah.
But it's doable, but only when each person recognizes that it is, as we said earlier, our station.
And the website is WAMC.org. You can make a secure online pledge there. And then we have a phone number, too.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262, the best known telephone number in the Northeast.
Mm. The panel is in session, and we will not have the panel singing the telephone number. Jen Smith is here, Sarah Rogerson, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok.
Okay, let's go, folks. We really do need your help. Now, everybody to a phone, 1-800-323-9262. Over to you, Ray.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's read a few letters, and then we'll move on and talk about some other things in the news.
Okay, well done. Okay, Ed says, Rosemary's 100% correct. Wake up and smell the manure. Willful ignoring of truth by the 50 U.S. Republican senators. No witnesses called impeachment trial acquittal. Lack of strong, credible Democratic presidential candidate all adds up to Trump's reelection and the country willfully on its way to authoritarianism. And that's from Ed in Del Mar. Well, I think that the American people are better than that, Ed. I know what you're saying, and I know why, and I know what Rosemary's saying. Nevertheless, if Susan Collins thinks she's going to lose this election, I assume she's going to, and Mitt Romney, and you're halfway there. It can be done, but it can be done only if people decide that, look, here's the thing I'm having so much trouble with. Republican senators who know that the history books will be talking about this is the moment when authoritarianism became implemented in the United States. This is the turning point, and yet they turn their backs on that. It's unbelievable to me.
I went around the room, I think, on Friday and asked all the panelists whether there would be witnesses, and I think the majority said they thought there would be witnesses. Let's do it again today.
I was the only one who said no, and I maintain that no now.
How about you, Jen?
I think I'm going to have to agree. I think there's the opportunities are there to have witnesses, but no one seems to be budging. I wish it weren't true.
Sarah?
I think it depends on what's going to happen between now and when the vote happens. It's every 12 hours something breaks.
It seems to be that way. Alan, you said yes, there would probably be witnesses, as did I on Friday.
I did. Well, anyway, I do think that there's a possibility. I don't want to seem, weenie-ish.
No, waffling.
Weenie-ish.
All the vocab this morning.
Yeah. Well, when you have the hurting, failing Kishkas, you can become weenie-ish very quickly.
Chaotic Kishkas.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that was from Ed. We hear from Ed often, and he is a voice of reason. Okay, and Gary says, no witnesses. Hello, panel. It is most likely that nothing new will be learned if witnesses are called. It will just allow Republicans to claim legitimacy and fairness regarding the trial, says Gary. No witnesses could motivate more Democratic and independent voters in November to come out and vote against Trump. Thanks, Gary in Alford. You know, Gary, I have said that. I've said that again and again. I think that there's a chance that no witnesses might actually be better for the Democrats, because then they can go to the suburban moms and everybody else and say, hey, they wouldn't let us have our chance. Where if you have witnesses, it may be more of the same.
No. There's also a chance that in 8 months, 9 months till the election, all those suburban moms are going to remember 8 more months of chaos under Trump. They're not even going to remember this. We do not have long memories in the United States. I do not believe it.
It's true. If Comey can raise emails at the 11th hour and turn an election.
Exactly.
Which he did. Okay, so that was from Gary in Alford. And I think voice of reason.
Weren't you a selectman in Alford?
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought so. Part of your...
I was a selectman. Yeah. That was something I would never do again, but it was hard work.
Yeah.
Barbara says, who paid? It would be very interesting to find out who paid for this private luncheon at Trump's D.C. hotel, where the latest piece of evidence came out against the president. Bad enough the taxpayers have to pay for all his trips and events at Mar-a-Lago. Do we also have to pay for a meeting where he blatantly plans his illegal attacks to win the 2020 election? Isn't the emolument clause an impeachable offense? Of course it is, but it's not happening. Right?
Sure.
And Ted says, no win situation. I usually like Rosemary's contrariness, but I agree. I'm reading this very slowly, but I agree with Alan in this case. Schiff was playing to moderate voters. He wasn't trying to change senators. There's no possibility of four senators changing their minds. They can't. If they vote for witnesses, they'll lose Trump's base and lose for certain. If they vote against witnesses, they may lose moderates, but at least they have a chance. It's their only option. Only Romney won't have to pay a price. Ted from Clifton Park. Well,
where's the part that he agrees with you? That sounds much more like me.
Well, it's part of it.
Where's the hopefulness?
The part of it was, I think, an appreciation of what Schiff was saying, and that he was playing to moderate voters. But yeah, I mean, doom and gloom is your trade. Stock and trade.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She wish considers herself a realist.
Be. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well. Anne Marie says, 127.20, I'm so proud of the job Democrats have done in impeaching President Trump and presenting their case, which is overwhelming, says Anne Marie. Thank you, Anne Marie. And that's all I got for now. And can I raise this again?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Look, folks, I'm getting very, very, very nervous. $5,000 challenge from Laura Tenney, if by 11 o'clock, and that doesn't, what is that, 48 minutes from now?
Roughly.
Yeah, 48 minutes from now. We can have the $5,000, but only if we raise 20. The last time I looked, there was 9K. I'm assuming there's 10K in there now.
Okay.
That means everybody has to get to a phone right now, or we're going to lose this challenge, and that would be terrible.
The email address here, if you want to comment on what we're speaking of, panel@wamc.org. Then write this down as well. WAMC.org is the website if you want to make a pledge in the lockbox, or you can call 800-323-9262.
And I want to say another thing, Ray.
Yes.
We're getting a lot of people over the years who are doing $1,000.
Yeah.
$1,000 is $3 a day for WAMC. That's what a newspaper costs. Think of what you get here. From the Tanglewood concerts to the hearings to everything that you need to know. Please, everybody, just please.
And we will have the hearings for you, and I believe they're scheduled to start again at 1 today.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the new total just delivered by...
Amber.
Yes, how do you say it? Amber. $13,000 now. So that means we need $7,000 to go. If you got $1,000, if you got $500, if you got $5, do it now. But don't turn your backs. That's how you elect presidents. 1-800-323-9262.
Jen Smith is here, Sarah Rogerson, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Joe is back on Thursday morning. If you're scoring at home, it's the roundtable panel. China has expanded sweeping efforts to contain a viral disease by postponing the end of this week's Lunar New Year holiday to keep the public at home and avoid spreading infection as the death toll rises to 81 at this point. Hong Kong announced it would bar entry to visitors from the mainland province at the center of the outbreak. Travel agencies ordered to cancel group tours nationwide. Increasingly, somewhat drastic anti-disease efforts are underway. They've suspended the transport links to Wuhan, that's a city of 11 million people, where the outbreak began last month. The lockdown has expanded to a total of 17 cities in China, more than 50 million people. And it looks like, from what I am reading, it's going to get worse.
You know, my doctor, Paul Lemansky, who's been on the radio show with us a number of times, says that, you know, there is this cough. And we all know it because I had it. Rosemary, did you have it? The cough. Well, the cough is going around, and I can only imagine that as everybody gets that cough and it lasts for weeks, that there's going to be panic in this country because now everybody's going to think that they have the disease.
Everybody needs to calm down.
Yes, I agree, Sarah. Yes. Rogers. Say that again.
I have had a cough for 4 days, and I ran 5 miles yesterday. So everybody, it's going to be all right. I think Jen had something to say.
That's a fairly weak yes. foundation to say everything's going to be all right.
But I was going to say, thank you,
there's,
doctor.
There's just, if you really listen to the science around this type of coronavirus, let us all be reminded that there's not only one, it comes from a strain of things. And it's there's just not enough to... not enough information in it. And, you know, you can make the arguments in terms of readiness. These things don't go onto people's radars until there is an outbreak that catches your attention. Until then, we don't talk about funding. We don't talk about research. We don't talk about emergency preparedness in these situations. But right now, if you look at all the research that is being done, a lot of the symptoms are pretty, they can go undetected. Sometimes this particular strain doesn't present symptoms. There's evidence that shows that it can be contagious during an incubation period. But again, the thing to really be concerned about is how capable it is of spreading. And if you compare it to things like SARS or MERS, it's not seeming to move as quickly. So I think
I thought it was the latest studies are that it is moving like SARS. That's why
it's moving quickly, but it's not spreading at the same dense rate. So in the SARS and MERS research, if you look at it, there were these quote unquote super spreaders who would one person could infect like hundreds of people.
Correct.
This is only going to like, you know, the farthest, deepest chain that it's spread to is four people, one person to four people. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be
watching. They closed down a whole city.
Here's the thing. None of you guys have apparently read Michael Crichton. This is a virus that it's long-lasting and widespreading. It causes the common cold. Mm-hmm. And at the rate it's spreading, it could easily mutate and turn into something else. And all of that would be fine. I'm glad the Chinese appear to be taking steps. But who knows if they really are, because they're even more lack transparency and funding and all that than we do. However, the government is in charge of protecting us. Does that not make you worried?
Yes. They closed down a city.
We don't do a good job with this.
They
CDC
closed down an entire city of 11 million people, and that's only one of the cities that this thing is going wild in. And New York City, just by way of comparison, has 8 million people in it. Now, you can only imagine what shutting down the schools, the transportation, everything else in a city of 11 million being. I don't want to be alarmist, and I appreciate what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. However, I think, look, I got to worry about the fact that there's only $13,000 in the lockbox right now to get our $5,000. Yeah. But this is worrisome, no question about it.
Last Friday, Birchwood Elementary School was shut down because of the flu. The whole elementary school shut down. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about government, we're not necessarily talking about, we are talking about CDC, but we're not talking about Trump, right? There are responsible people.
You're talking about a Trump-funded CDC.
I hear you.
Which is some problems.
I hear you. I just think in terms of impacting our everyday life, we just need to wash our hands some more.
Yes.
Make sure that we're paying attention to local advisories. Yeah. You're more likely to die from the flu than you are to die from a terrorist attack anywhere in the world. That is a statistic that my husband often cites as a psychologist. So calm down.
Well,
I love that.
And wash your hands.
I don't.
Well, and if you really want to complain, you should look at like the ways some of these outbreaks are happening is through poorly regulated and sanitized, you know, areas where humans come into contact with animals.
Right.
You know, these diseases, so, you know, SARS and MERS, for example, started, you know, with animals.
Pigs.
No.
Wasn't there a pig? Wasn't there a pig virus?
Bats. But and so right now they're actually looking to see if this spread from bats to snakes. But that is beyond the point that we're
but
talking
it's spreading
about.
Spreading human to human.
I want to know where my I want to know where that the next $7,000 is coming from. We're getting close, but we need everybody to do what they can. And I know Amber will be coming in here any second now.
So Alan, it's sort of like you're saying, I'm sorry. Give before you die.
Yeah, no, I was thinking
actually
the last thing you do.
That's a good idea, Rosemary. Give before you die. In any case, no matter what you die from.
Okay, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived in Washington last night vowing to make history as he prepares to meet with President Trump for the unveiling of the administration's much-anticipated plan to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The meeting in Washington looks set to serve as a, perhaps a sideshow to the legal issues facing both leaders. The Palestinians have not even been consulted in drawing up the plan, so we'll see how things will work out with that. Alan.
Well, look, if this president can go into an election claiming that he and Netanyahu came up with a plan and he can convince Netanyahu to give some back of what he's been taking, it could be an extraordinary achievement on his part. Nevertheless, I've never seen Netanyahu in one of those positions.
Actually, Mike Bloomberg gave an interesting talk about Israel and anti-Semitism this week that was more promising and hopeful to me than anything Trump has said. He has totally turned off the Palestinians and Arab potential allies who at the beginning of his administration would say, hey, this would be a fluke. You know, this guy really is so out of left field that he might pull it off. And he's done nothing since then, from giving away the embassy to taking it out of Tel Aviv and putting it in Jerusalem, to cutting funding to Palestinians.
Absolutely.
Could he and Netanyahu force this on the Palestinians? Absolutely they can, but that's not a negotiated peace settlement. That is, there's nothing
not
in here
all.
About the two-party state. We are all losers for this plan.
Well, do we know what the plan is yet? In other words,
it is not leaked, which is remarkable. However, contours of it have come out as Jared has been running around the Middle East, and it's basically give Israel more power and more more territory and control, and we pay off the Arabs who are poor, and so they can use money. He's been trying to get money from, for example, Saudi Arabia to pay off, give economic incentives, and Palestinians want none of it.
How much would it cost for you to no longer be an American, right? Like there's
exactly
It's tough. And wasn't Mike Pence caught on a hot mic?
I was going to say two words, hot mic.
Yeah.
which is definitely disturbing, to say the least, that it's all just about power brokering.
Well, why don't we remind everybody what was said on that hot mic?
That basically, you know, he's meaning the president is unstoppable like someone else, we know, meaning, you know, Netanyahu
is going to help Netanyahu, who is in trouble. He's now on his third attempt to form a government. They keep having elections, but he can't make a government. Gantz is meeting also with the president. That's really interesting. He didn't want to.
Yeah. It makes you question what really is going on.
This is about keeping Netanyahu in power, I believe.
But we really, in fairness, we do not have the details yet, so we'll know more tomorrow.
As I say, we have contours of the program. There's no specifics.
You keep an open mind on it.
The wonderful Amber.
No, I'm like McConnell.
The wonderful Amber has come in, and she has said, sorry for interrupting, I do apologize. And she has said, out of the 20,000, we need to get the 5,000 from Laura Tenney. We have $5,000 left to go. So if everybody gets on a phone, if you can help out a little extra, it's not unknown. $3 a day is $1,000. Whatever you can do, whether it's $5 or $1,000, or whether it's $5,000, we can really use you. You can hear the panic in my voice. You can hear the rumbling of my crazy kishkas.
Yeah. The email address for this program is panel@wamc.org. Rosemary Armeo is here. Sarah Rogerson, Jen Smith, Alan Shartok. And how are you feeling, Sarah? Are you holding up?
I'm holding up.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't want to sit by her.
Really?
No. I didn't hear that.
Imagine what it might be.
I know.
I've washed my hands so many times.
And you ran 5 miles. I know.
I did.
I did.
It's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
Sure, sooner or later. No question.
Staff at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad say a rocket attack the previous day injured at least one member of the embassy's personnel. Two staff members didn't specify the injured person's nationality or the severity of their wounds, but said the rocket slammed into a restaurant inside the embassy compound. And the U.S. Embassy is in the green zone of Iraq and has been a flashpoint amid wider tensions. We saw there have been more demonstrations, more riots, if you will, in Iraq. Any idea where this is going, Rosemary?
Get rid of troops, American troops from Iraq. We have helped Soleimani's goal quicker and more efficiently, with less loss of life. These troops are going to be pushed out. There'll be increasing pressure. My question is, are these injuries that count? Trump has decided that the men injured with traumatic brain injury by the last
the concussions
Iranian bomb
aren't so
didn't
bad.
Count. Yeah, it's a headache. You know, nothing. It's like having SARS. It's nothing. So are these injuries that count? And that's to pay attention to. Does he want to get involved in another problem, by that I mean military action, in Iraq or not?
So where, may I ask, is the Iranian factor in these protests in Iraq? I mean, you know, there are those people Iraqis who are very angry about having Iranians controlling things.
Yeah. Right, and that's all spurred by these proxies that will continuously complicate what's happening in the region. You know, I don't know if that's going to lead to any solution that anyone likes, because they still don't really have a say. So, I mean, I mean,
it's hard to say. Part of the Iranian long-term scheme is to get Western troops out of the Middle East. And the Americans in Iraq is a big part of that. There are definitely militias who are acting there. Mm-hmm. The Iraqis don't want to be controlled by the Americans or the Iranians, so they're caught in the middle of it.
Right.
Can I just say 1-800-323-9262? 1-800-323-9262. Ladies and gentlemen, we're approaching it. We need $5,000. We only have about 23 minutes to do it in. If you can do something at WAMC.org, or go to the phone and pick it up and go 1-800-323-9262. I'm counting on you. It's Alan, and I'm counting on you. Go.
I don't know if you guys saw this on Saturday. Iran's foreign minister says his country is not ruling out negotiating with the U.S. even after the drone strike that killed a top Iranian general. The foreign minister said that the U.S. must first lift economic sanctions against Iran for this to happen. On Saturday, the president took note of these remarks and said, no thanks.
You know, this president always needs an enemy. So even if they're reaching out with an olive branch and saying the Iranians, okay, we're a little bit afraid, probably not for the right reason, but for whatever reasons, he's not going to go for it because he needs that enemy.
He also needs somebody to kick around on the playground.
Sure.
So that he can show all of his tough guy friends that he's the boss.
Right, but he doesn't kick around the Saudi Arabians, that's for sure.
I think you turned your mic off, sir.
Oh, boy.
There you go. You're back on. You might have hit the cough button. And really, Sarah should be doing that.
Oh.
You were saying.
I was so, well, what I said, and I'm done having said it, except for 1-800-323-9262.
Dear God.
I'm not even coughing.
No, you seem fine.
I'm not, I do, right?
Yeah, you do. You're really coming along.
She's
here.
She's always fine.
Was that right. Run this morning?
Yep. Five, can you imagine running 5 miles?
No, not in my life have I run that much. I'm not proud of that.
Where do you do it?
I'll run 5 more if somebody donates, if we get to our goal.
There you go.
No, not today.
No.
Next Sunday.
No. Yeah. Well, I do 4 every day, but I walk.
You walk.
Yeah. That's really impressive.
I drive 20 miles every day, religiously.
You burn calories doing that.
That's very funny.
Yes, you do.
And listen to WAMC all the way.
I find that when I'm walking, I listen, go to the app and listen to WAMC. You know, it's better than even listening to music. I mean, how many times can you listen to Pete Seeger?
Ray looks incredulous.
No, that was a nod of a sense.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Indeed. Well, once again, the lockbox is open. We have to take a break for news here, but it's WAMC.org or 800-323-9262.
Hurry.
Jen Smith, Sarah Rogerson, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok will be right back after we take a brief break for news.
Hurry.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's a Monday morning. 10:34 is the time. The Roundtable panel in session. Ray Graff here. We're joined today by Sarah Rogerson, Rosemary Armeo, Jen Smith, and Alan Shartok. You can join us by emailing panel@wamc.org.
Lovely, lovely music.
You like the bassoon, do you?
I like the bassoon, but it is a little...
morose?
It's glum. I love it.
Do you? Why so, Rosemary?
It's moody. It's a difficult instrument.
It is a difficult instrument. Played extremely well.
I always wonder about kids who, you know, go to their parents when they're in elementary school and say, Mommy, I want to play the bassoon. Give me the clarinet. I mean, piano, guitar, yes, but...
You know, my cat will freak out for certain instruments. She's okay with the flute. My youngest plays the flute
in fifth grade.
Trombone, she'll just run for the hills, the cat. And I've got a couple trombonists in the house. That is Michael Harley on the bassoon. The album has come closer, and we have stuff going on.
We do. Let me just say, the latest that Amber has just given me is out of the 20,000 that we need, we've raised $18,000.
Very impressive. Yeah. Nice.
Now, that gives us $2,000, but $2,000 is a lot of money, and I've seen us lose them, waiting for that last $2,000 to come. So wherever you are, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. We got to get it done, and I know you'll help. I know you'll help. I'm counting on you.
And I encourage you to go online if you can, wamc.org. Yep. WAMC.org. You can make a secure online pledge right there.
Operators are standing by.
But not on the website.
No. Okay, so did I read these? No,
they're new.
They're right. New.
Okay, so Chuck says, head-on pikes, comment, compromises. Schiff's head-on pike comment compromises integrity to those listening when he repeatedly said he heard it, doesn't know if it's true, etc. He did the same when he parodied the phone call.
Yes.
He has otherwise been brilliant, but those were mistakes he should have been wise enough to avoid. But we heard right here on the panel that the president did say heads on pike.
Well, it was reported.
Yeah.
Well, CBS reported.
Well, reporting is important. Rosemary
this,
knows
this
that.
This isn't a case, though, where it all hinges so far because there's not. It may move on to something else, but right now all the Republicans are saying, "Well, we don't have it on a first-hand basis." So you have Schiff, who is appealing to his jurors by insulting them, saying your head is going to be on a page.
Well, you think they're going to? You think? Well, you think that they're really going to change in any case? I don't think so. Schiff is out to impress and change the minds of the American people. I think that's what it is.
I would like to see some proof he has done that too.
Well, I think the proof is his effectiveness. You and I just disagree on this, Rosemary, and that's the way it is.
Yes, sir.
History will not record. If we continue on our headlong rush into the nation run by a despot, the history books will not record the behavior of senators as cowardly. Rather, they will be hailed as heroes. After the press is restrained, the history books will be rewritten. You make a point, Jan. And then we heard from Alex, who says, is it all about staying in office? This question is mostly to Alan. Speaking as a political scientist, will senators only vote in a way that will keep them in office? If not, what will it take, or what has it taken in the past, to vote against one's self-interest? Thanks so much. And that's Alex from Hudson, New York. Have no fear, he says, P.S. I believe it's in my own self-interest to support WAMC. Now, that's really nice. And as I say, we need that $2,000, and we need it now. 1-800-323-9262. And the question that is raised here is, you want to succinctly sum it all up there, Ray?
Well, this writer, Alex in Hudson, wants to know what it would take for senators, presumably Republican senators, to vote in a way that is not in their own self-interest of being reelected, but is in the nation's self-interest.
So far, we haven't seen anything that would convince us of that.
What did it take in Nixon? It took the tapes, right?
It took the tapes, and it was really, by the way, it was a different Republican Party. This is a Republican Party which could be called the Trump Party. Based on bullying and being pushed around and head on a pike and all the rest of that stuff. It's just a different party. It's a different group of people. These people are, in my mind, a disgrace because they are not moving. They know darn well, and they say to people, they know darn well that this guy is off the rails. Nevertheless, they want to be senator. They want it on their tombstones, and that's just the way they are.
Now, we're seeing on the crawl on CNN, obviously no sound, GOP's Romney calls on Bolton to testify after bombshell report. That's just it.
Okay, so you got Romney. Who else you got? You need four.
Collins and Murkowski are possible. Gardner and the guy from Tennessee, what's his name?
Collins, they may be playing with Collins, which is, okay, so you lose, we'll make you secretary of this or that. It's a possibility. But so far, she has disappointed a lot of people who had thought that she had the kind of integrity that Olympia Snow, who preceded her, used to have. So anyway, good morning, panel. Rosemary, I love you. But I wish sometimes you'd stop reacting so quickly and just think a little. Just a little.
About what?
Today it's your comment that John Roberts is another one that the left believes will save them.
Right.
As a member of the left, I'll tell you we have no, capital N-O, illusions that the man responsible for Citizens U, untold qualities of corporate money in politics, is any sort of savior for the Republic. Rosemary, please stop being so axiomatically anti-left. Anne in Connecticut.
I'm of the left, too, and I don't think, well, it's nice that you think that. I don't think you've been listening to this panel. Libby, you, other panels have consistently said, oh, he wants the court to have integrity so we can rely on him as he did.
I never said that. Are you kidding?
Libby has said it, and you have agreed with her, Alan,
no.
Several times.
No.
He has other interests involved, and so he might be a possible. They have been that this is a smart guy who wants the integrity of the court protected. He is seen as a left.
Well, he does.
And read the liberal, the left press, if you will, the New York Times, the story that you cited this morning that Roberts can on his own power as presiding presider over the impeachment call for witnesses. But he's not going to do that.
And he's not going to do that. Why, Rosemary?
Because he is the author of Citizen United. I love the New York Times piece that said, as he's sitting up there, look out at what he has done. Mm-hmm. Money in politics has changed the Republican Party. It helped to put Trump in office. It helped to create the situation where the Constitution is being undermined. And John Roberts did that. So anybody who thinks that he is a hope, and he is, I get it. He really is one of our last remaining hopes, as is Susan Collins. That's why we keep falling into the trap. She'll save us. No, she's not going to.
Well, that's the thing. They have the power, the positions to do something, but will they?
And I mean, even Jen, even the ones who have spoken out, look what's happened to them. Jeff Flake, where is he now? All the people who are resigning, the Republicans who have resigned from Congress, Mark Meadows now is even talking about getting out. He's head of that Freedom Forum. But they're not, they're just walking away.
You got to have
Ryan, yeah. Paul Ryan, anybody mm-hmm. who is in a position.
It's because they can walk into consulting jobs that
exactly.
pay mm-hmm. three times as much as they're making in the Congress.
But will those consulting jobs be there, Sarah, if they do, if they walk away and then say this always. Was just wrong, what was going on?
Capitalism
here.
Will always survive.
Yeah.
Bruce says he's got in a lot of trouble, question mark. Someone on the panel said earlier that Schiff's got in a lot of trouble for his Pikes comment. He did not. It was a pack of treasonous Republicans. And I'm going to spell it out as he has. REBUBLIKKANS. Republicans who themselves have been lying to the American people for months. Well, of course, I agree with Bruce, but I don't think everybody does, do they?
Well, when are we going to have our Mr. Rogers moment? Remember when public television was on the chopping block and you had really mean Republican senators, you know, questioning Fred Rogers from the days, and then
yes.
Fred talks about hatred.
Mm-hmm.
He testifies. It's like this pivotal moment. They gave him all the money.
You know, they used to say that they were going to take the money away. And Reagan wanted to take the money away from public
sure.
broadcasting. He didn't get away with it, partially because everyone of these congressmen knows what their public radio station means to them and having them on the air and doing all of that stuff. So they've said no. I mean, I think Trump would love to get rid of WAMC and everything like it.
Well, what a great seg into the lockbox before our break. What's going on with the lockbox?
Well, we needed, last time we looked, Amber hasn't been here lately, but $2,000. So every phone has to be ringing now if we're going to make this. We only have 17 minutes to do this and 16 minutes.
Less than that. Yeah, about 15.
15 minutes to do that. So wherever you are, ladies and gentlemen, friends, dear friends, 1-800-323-9262. Lisa said, John McCain.
No, go
did
ahead.
I do something
one more, one more.
Okay.
That's fine.
John McCain. I guess there aren't any patriotic American senators left. John McCain would be apoplectic over Trump's lying, cheating, demeaning, and debasement of our presidency and America. Why aren't people protesting? And that's Lisa, who writes us often from Pequot. She's
Thank
protesting.
You, Lisa in Pequot. Let's take a break here. Sarah Rogerson is here, Jen Smith, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Chartok. Our email address is panel@wamc.org. Don't forget to feed the lockbox. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's a Monday morning edition of the panel at 10:46. Sarah Rogerson, Jen Smith, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo here, and you can join us by emailing panel@wamc.org.
And putting something in, when Amber came in the last time, we needed $2,000 for all I know. That's what we still need. I did hear a couple of phones ringing, 1-800-323-9262. Whatever you can do, this has really got my kishkas in an uproar.
No, wait a minute. You can hear phones? Because we're in a studio.
I was just outside.
Ah. Otherwise, I think we have to have you checked out. You know what I mean?
Good morning, panel, says Joseph. I failed to catch all of Schiff's final speech. Did he reference the tape of Trump at Davos as he bragged that he had the information Democrats wanted, but it was all locked away by he and his cohorts? I remember that, by the way. If he didn't run that videotape, why not? It was an opportunity missed. I agree that Schiff did a good job, but genius? Nah. Hero? Nah. It's my opinion that I think Chuck Schumer's pretty ineffectual concept in getting his face on TV. If the House had taken even one lower rank witness who violated the subpoenas and arrested them for contempt of Congress, they might have gotten more response, as we obviously have a bunch of wimpy, spineless weenies in office.
Weenies, there's that word again.
Yeah, that's the second time today we've had the weenie reference.
Yeah. There was a poll in the paper the other day as to what was the most popular Super Bowl food. And weenies was right up there.
Oh, yeah, the little ones.
Yeah, the little weenies.
The crock pot.
Those are the ones.
The cocktail franks, right?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Okay.
What so, the?
Eat me some Republican senators during the Super Bowl.
What the?
Serve them up.
We're really off the rails again.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Rain it in, Ray.
Micah says.
Forget it.
I got two days left.
Micah says, Rosemary is so wrong. Rosemary unwittingly does what the Republicans do. No matter what the truth, they keep telling their constituents there's nothing to see here, and so reinforce their constituents' belief that Trump is okay. Rosemary not only repeats to a large radio audience that looks at her analytical authority and leadership, that situation is hopeless. She emphasizes House impeachment managers' supposed deficiencies without looking at what they did accomplish. For example, the points over several days, they reached more Americans with critical points of view. That way, more Americans will remember those points. In the question section of the, quote, trial, they can clean up apparent discrepancies like the point that Trump never followed through on his aid, quote, concerns, and he didn't deny aid to other corrupt countries.
But undercutting that argument, Rosemary, you just mentioned the new approval poll for the president, which is higher now than it's been, right? Mm-hmm.
By how much?
It's at 44%.
Yeah, what was it? Do you remember? I mean,
well, he's been in the low 30s at various points. Well,
this was a CNN poll you're referencing?
Jen asked me that.
I think the 40s is pretty much where he's been hovering around lower.
Here's the problem with the listener's complaint. You may be very right about me. However, I don't have my own radio program. It's not like I'm out here saying this is the way it is. I am trying to discuss with other people. You hear plenty here about how brilliant a shift is and all the good he's done. And I'm just trying to get you to say, please look at it from the other side. It is not my side. I am a Democrat. I am a bleeding heart liberal. I don't like Bernie, but okay. Other than that, I'm progressive.
Oh, now we're getting more letters.
Yeah, I'll get more letters from
I think you're
that was for Aaron.
Well, Bernie's not a Democrat, though, right?
No, he's not a Democrat.
I think you're protesting too much. By the way.
But that's it. I mean, that's the way a radio show works. And
Democrats
need to listen to what the Republicans are saying. Don't we say that all the time? And that is what I try to do. I think that their points are not completely worthless all the time.
I think they're pretty worthless. 1-800-323-9262. We only have 10 minutes, actually 9 minutes, to make that $2,000 wherever you are. Please put something in. 1-800-323-9262. I can't wait to hear we've made it. I hope we can, but it won't happen without you. 1-800-323-9262, or join us at WAMC.org and put your money in that way. And if you want, by the way, it was mentioned earlier, if you want to have some kind of a thank you from us, just pick out something from the list.
There's a list of premiums online, sure. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we did have early this morning, a $5,000 challenge from Laura Tenney.
We did.
And we had to raise 20 during this panel, and we're
amazing.
Getting there.
Well, we're getting there, but last time Amber came in, she's so busy answering calls out there that she hasn't been able to come in and tell us where we are.
That's good. Is that a passive-aggressive way to say you want her to come in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you for asking.
All right.
Okay, and Marilyn says, League of Women Voters. The Albany County League of Women Voters would like to remind all eligible voters to be sure to make their party registration before, and capital letters before, February 14, 2020, in order to participate in the primaries April 23, 2020. And that's from Marilyn. Thank you, Marilyn.
Yeah. League of Women Voters is great. I don't know what we do without them.
Yeah, they're terrific.
All right. Who wants to say something? We blasted through our topics. We blasted through our fund drive challenge.
No, we haven't.
Well, close to it.
Who told you that?
Well, you did.
Did somebody come in here and say
you had 20,000 to make? You had 2,000.
Who told you that?
We're close, right?
No, not right. Not until the last $2,000 comes in, will we be all right? You know, you should know better than that.
Mm. Okay. Anybody else have anything
else? While we're waiting, I want to talk a little bit more about Kobe Bryant and why that became such a huge, amazing story last night. It wasn't just coverage, although Jen, you had something to say about the coverage, but people showed up at the stadium. It was
partially because the Grammys were there too.
Exactly.
And he built that stadium.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no doubt that he's just an epic figure who achieved in his career what, you know, some of us could only begin to dream about. But it was a career, as some agencies did report, that wasn't unmarred, as most celebrities' lives are. And there was, he went really under trial with his sexual assault
of a 19-year-old.
Yep. Case, and at the end, after that case was settled, it was settled outside of court, but he did all but admit to wrongdoing. At the same time, if you look at his post-retirement career, it was dedicated, and he put his money behind supporting a lot of women's sports organizations as well. It's arguable, was he making up for his wrongdoing in the past? But I think also there's something about the era that his career existed in too that just struck a lot of nostalgia. And but I don't think that we got the full story either. And there's still a lot we don't know about the crash itself.
But don't we also have a sports culture in this country?
Absolutely.
In which,
absolutely.
the impeachment trial, anything that's happening in Iraq, anything else disappears compared to the news this morning.
Well, we're not alone in that. I think sport and patriotism and competition and teamwork, all of those things. I mean, it's the same for soccer, football worldwide. In lots of countries that would take precedence.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I think there's a lot that, I guess we only have 4 minutes, but so we can't talk about all those things at once, but a lot of people have and have done so eloquently. I think, I don't know what this particular story has to say about America, but I'm sure that people who spend their careers weaving those types of narratives together will deliver one up in the next year or two.
In any case, I want to read from John, who said, witnesses. Why should we think witnesses from the Trump world would be any more truthful and more honest than the man himself and the senators who have supported him? There's an interesting letter. And Brian says, impeachment won't reverse the election. The president's defense seems that the Democrats are trying to impeach the president because they want to reverse the results of the 2016 election. But this makes no sense. Impeachment would not make Hillary president. And does anyone think the Democrats are doing this because they really want Mike Pence to be president? Republicans who care about their party should seize this opportunity to get rid of Trump and have a more respectable candidate for president in 2020, and that's Brian in Altamont. Well, that's an interesting point, I noticed that the rhetoric from the Republicans has changed from they're trying to reverse the 2016 to that they're trying to reverse the 2020.
Right. What do you mean?
They're saying. Well, they're saying that this is all done so that Trump wouldn't win in 2020.
Yeah.
Don't you see?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You do? Finally?
Yeah. The Republicans are saying this is what the Democrats are doing. Yeah. Understand. I understand.
Oh, good. Judy says, Merrick Garland. The current situation started when Senate Republicans allowed Mitch McConnell to refuse to put Merrick Garland's name in nomination for the Supreme Court. Given that history, why would anyone expect anything different now? And that's Judy from Deerfield.
Exactly.
Well, we have another day of defense statements coming up at 1 on WAMC.
Yes. And may I just mention that we have now made it.
Oh, we did. Hey, terrific.
We have now made it. We have actually raised up until now, and we wanted $20,000. We've raised $23,000.
Wow. It's a good run.
That's a good run. And now, remember, folks, every penny you put in now protects us. At the time we really need protection, which is going in to do what we do best and not have anybody interrupting any coverage that we have. So do what you can. It's so important in terms of what we're going through in this country.
And once again, thanks to Laura Tenney for the $5,000 challenge, which now goes in the kitty.
Yeah.
By the way, I asked last week, what does kitty come from? And we had somebody who gave us three different possible answers of what kitty was from. I can't remember one of them.
Well, anyway, everybody get on a phone, make us whole. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Or go to WAMC.org. Pick out a premium. Do whatever you can. But we really do need your help now. It's your radio station, and we all know it.
All right. Coming up next hour on the roundtable, we got some good stuff here about Vassar College's annual Exploration of the Arts, ModFest 2020.
Wow.
The theme is Reflect, to project. Look backwards to move forward.
So always interesting.
Thanks to Jen Smith from the Berkshire Eagle. Good luck getting home. I hope there's no snow on the way.
It should be okay now.
Sarah Rogerson, glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Rosemary Armeo, how'd you do in the game today?
Game?
The game you're always playing.
This is to keep me occupied so I don't jump in and interrupt everybody.
Well, so you did well.
This
then.
Is therapy.
Thanks to Alan Shartok. Thank you all for listening. This is The Roundtable. Much more to come. We'll be back.